It's the most important trade deal ever. That's how Donald Trump has described the new agreement between the United States, Mexico and Canada. What does that mean for our search for trade deals post-Brexit? Here's Dominic with that and the rest of the business news.
Yes, thank you, Martha. President Trump hated NAFTA, the old three-way deal, but he loves the new one, USMCA, US-Mexico-Canada agreement. Although there may not be that much difference between the old and the new. This is what he had to say.
It's turned out to be a very, very good deal for both and a very, very good deal for all three. It puts us in a position that we've never been in before. It's very good when you look at the world and what the world is doing and when you look at the unfair trade practices that countries are using against the United States. This is a terrific deal for all of us.
Christophe Bondy is a trade lawyer at the law firm Cooley. He's a former trade advisor to the Canadian government, and he led the negotiations on that Canada-Europe deal, which we talk about so much these days. And he joins us. Christophe, from an outside view, unless you really get into the weeds of this new deal, there doesn't look to be that much difference between NAFTA, which President Trump hated, and the new deal. There are some differences, though, aren't there?
Yeah, I think I'd call this NAFTA 2.0, although they don't want to call it that. One of the differences is the rise of content for North American content in autos from 62.5% to 75%, and another provision that a percentage of the cars that are built with that content need to be in jobs that have wages above $16 an hour, which is targeted obviously at low wages in Mexico. And so it's going to be interesting to see the impact of those attempts to increase North American content in autos on the actual sales of North American cars.
So the Americans wanted a bit more to protect their auto industry. The Canadians have given a bit on access to the dairy industry and a few other things as well. That was sort of where the give and take was.
Yeah, I mean, the irony on dairy is that Canada had already made essentially the same offer to the U.S. in the context of the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations, which the U.S. pulled out of, and then it became the newly named Comprehensive and Progressive TPP. And then another important change in the agreement is the withdrawal of investor state protection in the context of U.S.-Canada and a limitation on on investor state between U.S. and Mexico.
One of the things that strikes me about looking through the detail of this deal is that it's described loosely as a free trade deal. It's not particularly free, is it? In fact, if you look at it, lots and lots of bits of U.S. and Canadian and Mexican industry are still protected. Trade deals are really about actually moving towards freer trade and negotiating with the vested interests that you have at home, aren't they?
Well, I think that's right. You start from a proposition that we want to open the markets, and you do that as much as possible. And I think it's true that it's about freer trade, but you are always going to be looking to specific industries within your country that still require or demand certain protections. And so you're negotiating as much internally as externally to ensure the freest possible trade in the circumstances. And the other thing is a free trade agreement is about these express discriminatory barriers. It's not about regulatory harmonization that you get within the context of the single market in the EU.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that is, of course, the next question. What are the lessons for the UK looking at this negotiation, which has been going on for a long time now? We're going to be looking to do our own free trade deals or trade deals. What should we learn from this USMCA affair?
Well, I think there are at least 2 points. One is that it's bloody hard to negotiate with the Americans. So this has been a massive diplomatic undertaking on the part of Canada. There were something like 500 separate visits, 300 official visits over the last 2 years. And that was in circumstances where Canada has, in fact, a fair deal of leverage with the U.S. in the sense that we're the biggest external trading partner for them, that the automotive industry is incredibly integrated, and so on. And the UK doesn't have that leverage with the US. So that's the first point. The second point is it shows that you pay attention to your anchor tenant when you are considering doing international trade.
When you say that, you mean your closest and biggest market.
Exactly. So I was going to say for Canada, that is North America, the United States and Mexico. For the UK, it's the rest of the EU. And if you want to go from there on to other international markets, that's fine. But you pay attention to making sure that home market is secured, because that's the basis from which you go out to the rest of the world. And the irony is the UK, with a Brexit policy, if it happens, is going to be doing exactly the opposite, going from a home market of 350 million people, or even 500, depending on how you count it, to a market of 65 million people. And from there, trying to negotiate trade deals, which doesn't make sense from a trade point of view.
Thank you.